cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta hang tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed.
Mike Stanton. Your name is Mike, you bitch! Cat Figure Podcast, episode 58. I'm Ryan DePaula. Who are you?
Tom McLaughlin.
Hi, Tom. So, there's lots to get into. We were planning an episode, and then some news happened that the Cubs got Quintana. We'll get into that in a bit. But before anything, even before some humorous banter, can you tell me some players who wore number 58?
58 now takes the title as the worst number in baseball.
What, do you remember what previously was? I don't. It was something in the low 50s, I think.
Yeah, the 50s have been really rough because it's usually numbers given to relief pitchers. So Jonathan Papelbon is the best player in the history of baseball to wear 58 for more than like three seasons. He's actually the only player in baseball to wear number 58 for more than 10 seasons.
How many wins has he been worth?
He has a 24-4 WAR over 12 years, which is pretty decent for a reliever, but it's still not that impressive.
Yeah, not that is certainly not choke a prodigy worthy. You know what I mean? Like the 24 wins over your career absolutely does not entitle you to choke Bryce Harper. Maybe 40 yeah. wins, I would be cool with it.
For his amount of like ignorance and overall like,
dude, I forgot he used to say political stuff. Remember, he used to say stuff about stuff. I don't remember what it was.
But
I think it was right wing, like. Right?
Yeah, it was always like, you know, exactly what you'd expect from somebody from Alabama.
Like John Rocker, yeah. Like the new age John Rocker.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you remember John Rocker, for those who don't know, but most people
do,
know,
course,
he was on the
yeah.
Braves and talking about the Mets. He's like, yeah, I hate New York City. I hate being on the train. You're next to some queers and some Mexican woman with five kids and some other stuff.
He was definitely on steroids.
Yes.
Like 100%.
He's Kenny Powers. They did a piece on Vice magazine, the channel on YouTube did a piece. It's just the real Kenny Powers and is interviewing John Rocker, and he's really funny and likable in it.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, it was based on him because the Kenny Powers character was like racist as hell. All right, so what we're doing today is the All Star game. It's All Star break, so the Home Run Derby and All Star games just happened, and you know, we went over who was on the teams twice. Basically, we picked who we would pick, and then we reviewed who was actually on the teams. But what we did is we each took a league, right? We split up Major League Baseball. I took the National League and Tom took the American League. And we made teams of the worst players, basically. But not just the worst, who's hurt their teams the most, right? Because they're crappy players, but they don't play, right?
Correct.
What we wanted for was like an all-star team of people who are hurting their team. But you know, the fun of voting for the all-star team is still in this because, you know, you don't just go by who has the most WAR and build a team like that for the real all-star game.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. Nuh-uh.
Not on this show.
What you get to do is vote. If you want to see a superstar in there, you want to see a particularly crappy player, just like in the real game, like Corey Seager over Zach Cozart, that's a fair argument, bro. So same with this. Maybe you got Pablo Sandoval versus some other third baseman dude. But you want to make fun of him being fat? You want to see his fatness? Fair. Have at it. So we're going to go over them teams. But again, before I get to that, yo, what you got anything to say about Nelson Cruz taking a photo or any other of the wackiness in the All-Star game? What were your thoughts?
No, I don't know why he wanted to take a photo with Joe West. Was that just
there's fucking 50 professional photographers. That's like when people film a concert through their phone. It's like, yo, you want to watch a video of that? There's a 10 times better video available for free online.
I refuse to believe. How is he the best possible choice for umpire? That guy.
Oh, Joe West?
Yeah, look, I know he's got the experience, but
wait, this is your first take. This is opening Tom's take on the All-Star game.
I mean, how can somebody in that physical shape be the best person to call, right? Because he's so overweight. He's old. look, even if he has great experience, there's no possible way he is the best choice to sit behind there and make decisions based on something happening in real time with professional athletes.
Well, luckily, it doesn't matter anymore for the home field. And maybe they throw him a bone or, you know, a burger, as he would like it, right? And yeah. And since it's just an exhibition game, you let it throw him that and then keep him out of the World Series. But I agree with you. Some umps are really bad. He's just famous because he's been around for so long. Who are the really showboaty umps?
Well,
Angel
he's
Hernandez and Joe West, right?
Yeah, and Joe West, he had a country album before he was an umpire.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, so he sung some, you know, some country hits.
I call balls when the strike's on the blacks.
And trying to get to the diner after the game. Strike, strike,
just
strike.
Such literal lyrics, like all country albums. It's like, depressed on the porch. Like, there's no metaphors. It's just literal, straight up. All right.
Bank came and took my land.
Obama came and took my farm after we took it from the blacks. Then we took it from the dark people. All right. So, how you want to do this? You want to go eat one team at a time? Let's do that. We'll do my team because I think your team is more interesting with bigger names. Who do you want to go first?
You can go ahead. We'll go with yours.
You can
first.
Go ahead. All right. So again, this is the all Buxton team or all, I don't know, all Greg Bird team. So I guess I'll just go through.
What position are we starting at here?
We'll go in order of the real numbers, right? So pitcher is one, right?
Go for it.
So this is interesting. So I looked at I sorted it by WAR on Fangraphs, but you can sort by runs against RA9 WAR or FIP, and it's crazy because when I had it sorted by FIP, obviously, which I like better, I guess. And Jared Weaver was the worst starter at minus one wins. But if you change it to RA9 WAR, Bartolo Colon is by far the worst of any player in baseball at negative 2.1 WAR, and it's because he has like an 8.5 ERA, but his FIP is five, only five, you know, so I don't know. But either way, both guys who throw like 50 miles an hour, I really hate to shame Bartolo, so Jared Weaver is probably my guy there. Any debate?
I took two starters, so you can have both of them.
Okay, great. And then my reliever, keep going through the diamond. So my catcher, he was on, I wrote an article maybe in early May, and I called it the All Buxton team on capfigure.com, and it was about the worst players up to that point in all of baseball. And there's actually three players from that team on my team still, which is pretty surprising. I guess not really. That's about halfway to where we are now. But Chris Herman, my catcher, was on that team, and he's still horrible. He went from maybe worth a negative game to negative 0.6, but he's only hitting 179. His fielding runs above average are minus 3.3, and his bat runs are minus 8. He sucks. He just sucks. And then he's playing left field sometimes. Like, he's useless. Then who's next? First base. Yo, Adrian Gonzalez, who would you have guessed it would be?
Yeah, that's got to be the choice at first base.
I didn't realize how bad he was before he left. You know, people think he may retire. We were talking to a Dodger fan watching the Home Run Derby, and he was saying, yeah, man, he may retire because he might just be done. And I didn't realize how bad he was, but in only 182 plate appearances before he left, he hit only one home run, 13 walks. He's worth minus 0.8 games.
In going through on the National League side, somebody that kind of stuck out to me at first base was Will Myers. I know that, you know, he's obviously the face of the franchise. It's the worst franchise in baseball, but he's the face of that franchise. Offensively, his numbers weren't terrible. It was about, I think it was like an 800 OPS, which you'd expect better from a starting first baseman, but his defensive metrics were terrible. I don't know how true that is.
That surprises me.
In terms of reality.
Last year, he was the only first baseman with a positive DEF. Its defense is what it is on Fangraphs.
Yeah,
he was the only first baseman with a positive defense stat.
He's
a good fielder,
though.
But that's crazy. That you realize he was the best last year.
Yeah, that surprised me.
Here's another scenario like that in reverse. Actually, at the end of 2016, Ryan Zimmerman would be on this team. He finished last year minus being worth negative 1.3 wins, which is a lot, and he played the whole season. And now he's the starting first baseman on the All-Star team. So
that's crazy.
Dreams do come true, Alcides Escobar and most of the Royals. All right, second, we got Johnny Team VR. He's been worth negative, you know, half a win. Yeah,
that's
he led all of baseball in steals last year. He was sort of like a breakout, and a lot of it had to do with fantasy, like a lot of his hype,
his stolen bases
and home runs. He had 19 homers and he stole 62 bases, even though he was caught 18 times.
He was a top 40 pick in fantasy.
Yeah, because
in some cases, because
he's a middle
25.
Infield eligible power steals guy, he's very valuable. And he had an 826 OPS. But this year, has an OPS of only 641, 90 strikeouts, 60 hits. So whatever, we'll move on. Just jump in if you have some sizzle. Alan Cordoba is my shortstop. He's only 21. He's on the Padres. Some of my guys don't have enough at-bats to be eligible for the, like, league leaders and stuff, but they have done damage in limited at-bats, which is impressive to me that you could be worth, like him, negative .8 wins.
I would jump in on that and say Dansby Swanson
should
be on that list
name.
As well, because he's played the whole season there.
Right. Well, the thing is, Alan Cordoba's been worth -5.2 runs defensively. He's been worse than in less playing time. He's been worse than Dansby Swanson. But you're right, because a guy who's even though he's only accumulated -0.2 WAR, maybe more. You think he could be more harmful? I think WAR accounts for that, though. It's a counting stat. Like, if you really suck for 20 games versus a guy who kind of sucks for 60 games, it'll account for that. And then the guy who really sucks for 20, Alan Cordoba has a -0.8 WAR to like Dansby's -0.2.
Well, here's the thing with that calculation is I think with more games, because the defensive metric that goes into WAR heavily favors shortstops, I think the more games you play, the more you accumulate in that defense column.
Yes.
So I would say Dansby Swanson is maybe even like a little bit overrated if you compare him with a player who's played fewer games because he hasn't had that chance to accumulate the positive on the defensive side.
I understand, but if you're as bad as Alan Cordoba or whatever, like he's been worth -5.2 runs. You're assuming that he's going to be good to dig himself out. Well, right. I think what you're talking about is win probability added every day. That's worth a lot, like in far of suckiness.
Yeah.
Like if you suck a lot regularly every day, I don't know. But so anyway, he's a shortstop / left fielder. But based on the number, I mean, just by going negative WAR, Cordoba's been worse, which is again surprising. His average exit velocity is 81 miles an hour, and like league average is 87. He's the lowest I've seen.
What is this, the little leagues?
I know, bro. Come on, get it together. He's only 21 though. I think he was a Rule 5 draft pick. All right, Mikel Franco, bro. This guy though, I'll say. Well, let me reorganize my thoughts here. But he's been worth negative half a win, even though he has 2 grand slams, both while I was watching against the Mets. He still blows, bro. He doesn't strike out a lot, though. Like, once I dove deeper into Mikel Franco's numbers, I more and more liked him because even though he's been worth negative half a win and he's been disappointing after his breakout second half of 2015, he did a little bit worse last year but still had a good season. And now this year he's hitting .217. He doesn't have basically any hits. But here, two things. One, like I said, he only has 47 strikeouts in 318 at-bats, which is not that many for how bad he's been, right?
Right.
And also, I have a question. Here's the thing. His batting average is .217, but his BABIP is .215. How can that be possible? Can you think of a scenario how that is?
I think that takes into account sacrifice flies.
Oh, that's the same with the slugging versus, or what is it?
Yeah.
What is that? What it is? Your slugging can be higher than your average,
mm-hmm.
or on base. No. Your average can be higher than your on base percentage.
Right.
Because what is it? Because
if you hit a sacrifice fly,
sacrifice counts
on base.
Against your on base,
correct.
But not against your average.
Correct.
Got you. So it's not considered a ball in play.
I don't think so.
But it should be. It's a ball in play. Oh no, but it's not against his batting average. I get what you're saying. All right. Sorry. So But he also doesn't walk. But anyway, I'd buy low because he's getting worse each year. But he's only 25. He's capable of being good. He's a little ugly, and he's the Phillies. I hate him. All right, left field, Scott Van Slyke. He only really plays against lefties, so I thought that he would have like good win probability added and stuff like that. He's striking out a 31.3% rate. You know, the other two outfielders are like slam dunks for this team, but the third one I had a hard time with. He's hitting 125. He sucks, but to contribute negative a third of a win in 48 plate appearances when you get to just do your specialty and just try to be good at the lefties is very not
so did
no
you
bueno.
Just pick three outfielders, or did you do left, center, right?
I did three outfielders, like the All-Star team.
So Schwarber has to be one of the others.
Well, we'll get to him in a sec. My right fielder, though, is Carlos Gonzalez, who has, of any
horrible
player in baseball, been worth negative 1.5 wins. And this is a really big story. You know, they thought he might be a trade piece before the season and last year, right?
Now they're a contender.
And now they're a contender, but he sucks. Like, now they're a contender, and he has this giant contract that's not worth anything. What do you think? Why? What's up with him?
I mean, I think he's had a number of injuries throughout the years. I don't know what in particular is causing this slide, but the Rockies are kind of weird, right? Because Ian Desmond has been terrible as well.
Trevor Story's been terrible.
Yeah,
and who there was
Mark
another
Reynolds
guy.
Has played so well.
Yeah, that exactly. Nolan Arenado's obviously good. But, yeah, no, they had Trevor Story. They had a couple players who were eligible for this team. Trevor Story, and I forget, they had a second baseman shortstop utility guy who's been horrible. He's been worth, like, a negative win also. And yet they're really good. All right, but even though they're slipping. So here's my third outfielder. I was ready to put Schwarber. But listen to this, dude. This is fucked up that Matt Kemp, who's hitting .293 and slugging .486, this is just based on fan graphs, has been worth 0.2 positive wins, right? Schwarber has been worth somehow 0.3 wins above replacement.
Okay.
And even though Schwarber is hitting .178 and slugging .394, I cannot fathom a way in this world that Kemp has been worse than Schwarber. Obviously, WAR is a counting stat, and so you need to accumulate it.
That's insane.
But it's still insane because here's why. Kemp has been worth negative 3.7 runs on the base pads. That's how bad he is running the bases. George Springer, by the way, when I was looking at this, is worth negative 4.5. I guess he's
on
been caught.
A,
yeah, I
yeah,
guess
he's
been caught stealing a lot.
Runner, yeah.
And same with Bautista is the worst in baseball right now
Springer,
at minus 5.7.
I don't think has one stolen base this year.
And he's tried a good number of times.
Yeah, I think so.
He must have because, to be worth negative 4.5 runs on just base running, that's horrendous. So Matt Kemp, I guess he's still fat. And also, this also shocked me, Matt Kemp is a way worse fielder this year than Schwarber so far. How is that?
I don't know how that's possible.
It's amazing. So I was shocked, but I had to, go with fatty old Kemp. And actually, speaking of Schwarber, I re-picked him up today. I cut Brett Gardner and picked up Schwarber. What do you think of that? That's a ballsy.
Who did you cut?
Brett Gardner.
That's kind of a weird move, but
it's a retarded move, many would say. Chastise me or have a hot take.
Yeah, I mean, that's honestly, I don't know why you would drop Brett Gardner at this point.
Because Schwarber's BABIP is like 200. He's hitting it a mile an hour faster than Brett Gardner. And Brett Gardner has been regressing to his career average. He's at 800 OPS now, Brett Gardner. He's going to hit way more home runs than he's ever hit, but he's on his way back to mid-sevens.
It doesn't matter because you're hoping for a best-case scenario. Schwarber's best-case scenario is not even close to like what Gardner is even at the regressing pace because Schwarber strikes out 50% of the time. He doesn't steal any bases. I don't know. I'm going to try and pick up Brett Gardner if
you
I
should.
Can.
Yeah. I think that Kyle Schwarber's best case scenario is absolutely better than how Brett Gardner's been in the last three weeks.
No, it's not because even at his best, that 50-game span, he was, what, like 800 OPS? I've totally flipped on him. I mean, he... you look at the strikeout numbers, I don't think the Cubs are going to go put him back at the top of the lineup, so that cuts down on a lot of the counting stats.
Yeah, but that's fine. I'd rather have an 800 OPS. That's what Brett Gardner is at right now on the season, and he was at like 1,000. You know what I mean? He's falling back to his low sevens that he is.
Okay.
But you could, whatever. That's all fair. I know this is a hot sizzle move. And then lastly, my relief pitcher, Sean Kelly, who in 18 fucking innings has given up 9 home runs and 9 walks. He sucks. His home runs for 9 are obviously not of a 4.5. He's doo-doo, but...
He was the Nationals closer for a while.
I know.
Too.
Him,
yeah.
Coda Glover, all them doo-doo butts.
Matt Albers.
But at least none of them choke our boy Bryce. All right, yo, what do you think of my team? They're pretty shitty, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
But now after we see your team, we'll see who we think would lose. All right, so hit me with your team.
All right, AL all underperforming team.
Nah, pick a bash a player. Name it. Name it AL all Alcides Escobar team.
He's the gold standard for... How is this player still in baseball right now?
So you'll like do that. All
yeah.
right.
All Chris Davis team is fine.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, because his contract. All right.
So starting a catcher, there's only one catcher in the AL who has enough qualified at-bats. So I had to sort of change the bar a little bit. So what I kind of did when I went through is I looked for about 150 plate appearances, which is not a lot. Starting a catcher... I've got Jonathan Lucroy, who right now, league average is 100 for weighted runs created plus. Right now, he's at 73.
Damn, I thought he was doing better than that.
He has a 667 OPS, and traditionally, he was well known for his pitch framing ability. He was always a top three at that position in his prime. And we talk about his prime, he's like 28 right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he should be in it, right.
He's a bottom five pitch framer this year. So
wow.
All around, if it was not for his name, I think he would be sent down to the minor leagues.
Or at least benched. I mean, his name is enough of a... I guess you're right. If you just said if it wasn't for his name, never mind. But, like, yeah, given his name, I guess they should...
You have to ride the ship. I mean, they have Robinson.
Yeah,
Chirinos,
because there's no catchers are so rare. He's one of the three best catchers coming into the season, literally, right? I mean, you would figure maybe five, top five, right? Him, Salvador Perez, Buster Posey, Gary Sanchez. Give me another. I'm forgetting somebody.
Salvador. Yeah,
I said Salvador, and then out of nowhere, Yadi's having a renaissance. But before the season, you 8 billion% would take Lucroy over Yadi or Molina, and that's not the case now. So a bunch of guys passed him. That's surprising. But I guess, you know, there's got to be some tangible reasons why Texas is not doing as well, and that's one of them that we forgot to mention when we did our Texas Royals episode. All right,
sure.
Next.
So
first.
First base.
Victor Martinez, Albert Pujols.
Well, those are both DHs, so I went with players who actually played the position. Just to shut
all
you
right,
down
smart
there.
Ass, yeah.
So we got Chris Davis at first base.
Oh, your boy. You love to hate Chris Davis. You love to hate him.
38% strikeout percentage.
That's insane.
781 OPS.
Oh, that's not bad.
14 home runs in 250 plate appearances, 103 weighted runs created plus. So he's league average. Defensively, he's awful. He's been injured, but... I think the tipping point that made me choose him as opposed to either Chris Carter or Mike Napoli was just the fact that he's being paid like a franchise player and is going to kill that franchise for years to come.
I knew you were going
to
say that contract, too. You hate him. You hated it from day one. That strikeout rate is like clown stuff. You know what I mean? His approach to sell out for home runs. And then how many times, like, why would you sell out? I guess because you get paid is the answer. But why go with that approach when your home runs are really never going to win the team the game? What's going to is like being able to make contact with guys on second and third and nobody out. You know what I mean? Not striking out there is a lot more valuable than the one out of every 20 more times you're going to hit a home run. Idiot.
Yeah, he just always has his like fat lip packed, goes up there and just swings as hard as he can.
He looks like a stupid outer borough, like light-skinned Puerto Rican guy or something who's like, yo, my friend got a system for roulette. He knows how to make money at
Crush
roulette.
Crush Davis.
All right, so who
moving on to second, not a very difficult decision. We got Rougned Odor from the Rangers as well. He's coming off what was considered a great year. I think he had something like 30 home runs.
Yeah, man. And he got paid before the season. They didn't pay him that much because he's super early. You know, it's only his second year or third year now. But maybe he got lazy, yo.
So 69 weighted runs created.
Oh,
plus.
My God.
He has a WAR of 0.2, but here's what's kind
That's
of interesting
bad.
About this is he has a negative 9.5 offensively, negative 1.1 defense.
Wait, what do you mean? Oh, the stat on FanGraphs? Okay.
So, but he's actually, his base running, BSR, so runs added through base running, he is a 4.6, which is more than double the amount of anybody else at second base. So if you take that out, he's by far and away the worst second baseman in the league.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you know what is taking that out for himself is not getting on base.
Correct.
But that's fitting because of all the – I've seen him, especially in that playoff game when the ball – when Russell Martin was throwing it back to the mound or whatever and it hit Sinchu Chu's bat, remember? And he ran home.
Yeah.
He's a real – and he knew the rule and stuff. And he's – I've seen him make other really good base running plays.
He has a 3.8% base on balls. I think if you...
Oh, my God.
You could just
never swing the bat and do better than that.
A lot better than that.
That's
yeah.
amazing. That's horrible. All right. Wow.
So let's move on to shortstop. This is a shoo-in, and appropriately, the team is named after him. Alcides Escobar. You ready for this? This is
yes,
unbelievable.
I'm excited.
On the heels of Rougned Odor, who's... arguably breaking some records in terms of expectation to how bad he is.
Yeah.
We have Alcides Escobar, who recently was demoted from being the leadoff hitter of the Royals. He is sporting a 38 weighted runs created plus.
And again, explain that for people who don't know.
League average is 100.
They make it so that it's 100 always.
Right, and like 80 is about 1.5 standard deviation. So if you're around 80, like that's really bad.
Yeah.
38? Are you kidding me?
I don't think I've seen one that low ever. What is his regular people stats? Do you want me to look him up? Do
no,
you have him?
I got it. So... his regular stats are not as bad, which is shocking. So he has a 226 average, but he has a 548 OPS.
Ew.
Rougned Odor, we were just talking about, 3.8% base on ball percentage. Alcides Escobar, 1.7% bases on balls.
Dude.
His isolated power is .080. That is the worst in the league, and that is... actually unbelievable because it means that anytime he's getting hits, they're singles.
Almost always. Like, isolated power is the difference between your slugging percentage, which is just bases divided by at-bats, and your batting average, which is the number of hits. So, yeah, exactly what Tom said. That means he probably has two extra base hits, the bum.
He has two homers, yeah.
You know what's amazing is that that same stuff. I remember making fun of the Royals the year they beat the Mets, and everybody was like praising him in their approach and saying, "Oh, they did it with the least walks and home runs, and they did it with all doubles and triples and hits and base running." And Alcides in particular, they were like, "He swings the most of the first pitch of anybody." It's like, eat a dick. That's a bad approach. And good. I'm glad now it's come to bite him. And Ned Yost is an idiot for keeping him there for
this
long.
They won in spite of that.
As we talked about. Yeah, it's crazy. Alcides, bum. All right.
All right, so we'll move on to
third
base.
Manny Machado, please.
No, not quite that bad. I went with Nick Castellanos of the Tigers. He coming into the season was sort of a hot pick. He had a bunch of home runs before he broke his hand in July of last year. So he played about half of last year, but you know his average was on the way up. He had something like 20 home runs in half the season. So it looked like he was poised for a great season.
Didn't he start out the very first couple weeks of this year really good too?
Hot.
I know he had a super high BABIP though, like an Avisaíl Garcia type.
So he has a 0.4 WAR overall, but he is the only third baseman to deliver a negative score in the offensive statistic, defensive, and base running.
So how does he – how is he – I guess, what, just being, there, you can accumulate some WAR?
Correct.
That's awesome. I hate him because he's a player who doesn't walk, right? What do you see his walk rate? If you don't, it's fine. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's 7.8% walk rate, 25% strikeout.
Yeah.
Still has a 310 BABIP, which is
But he was all batting average, you know, and his success last year. Yeah, that's a little above average, which tells you that he's even going to regress more. You know what I mean? He's the reverse of Mikhail Franco, who I would sell any Castellanos shares that I had left, whereas Mikhail Franco I would buy. But then again, there's a discussion about is having a high BABIP to some degree can be a skill if you're a guy like Castellanos who can hit to all fields. But anyway, I hate Castellanos. I like the Tigers because we got a friend named Jim. Hi, Jim. You should sell Justin Upton because he's way better than anyone thinks again. All right. Next, who you got? Where we go? We got to start on left field.
Yeah, so I did left, center, and right.
Just like the numbers.
Position. Left field, Alex Gordon.
Our boy.
Another Royal. Seemingly defying gravity with these numbers. 57 weighted runs created plus.
Holy crap.
592 OPS, 195 average, 264 weighted on base average.
Dude, good thing.
$110 million.
Yeah, good thing you let Zobrist and you let good thing you let Billy Bean go. You know, you really could use Billy or Kendrys Morales though. I'm joking about.
You remember when we were at the barbecue Monday night? It's like, is Billy Butler going to be
Billy Butler,
enshrined
yeah.
into the Royals Hall?
Yeah, I was trolling a Royals fan. What?
All right, so yeah, left field Alex Gordon, center field
Billy Butler.
We got Adam Jones, and this was an interesting – the numbers were very interesting here because Adam Jones traditionally I think has been pegged as a pretty good defensive outfielder.
Yeah.
When we dig into the numbers, he's actually, according to Fangraphs, defensive numbers, he's in negative 5.3.
This season.
Defensive this season in center field, which is double the next – it's twice as bad as the next center fielder.
Yeah, because for just to explain, the defense stat, I don't know, we should just call it defense stat, in Fangraphs, it doesn't adjust for position. So like a first baseman, almost every first baseman has a negative defensive stat, except maybe one every year. And then if you're in a position like center field or shortstop, you have a much better defensive stat. It's your contribution to the defensive game, basically, more or less. And in center field and shortstop and positions like that, you have much better chance to contribute to it positively. Yeah, Adam Jones, I absolutely think of him as a good fielder. But offensively, which I'm sure you'll get to now, every time I would look at his stats, and still, I was always surprised that he played a ton of games and he accumulates. He's sort of like a quote-unquote compiler who makes the Hall of Fame. He walks only like 30 times a year, I believe, and yeah. But he gets to his 30 homers, and because he's a center fielder, I love him, but that if his defense isn't there, he's useless. Well, how else is he doing this season?
Yeah, I mean, this is just part of who he is, but he has a 4.5% walk rate. He's got 15 home runs on the year, but you know, it's that combination of the bad defense as well as not being able to put the ball in play.
If he doesn't get on base enough to justify, like if you could live with a Jock Peterson type, except Jock walks, but say just like somebody who strikes out a lot, hits homers, and plays decent defense. Even, you know, that's a weird example, but like, you know what I'm saying? That you're cool with, just like a hollow power, good defender. But if he's a bad defender, having home runs is worthless in today's baseball. Like somebody who bats 260 and hits 30 home runs is a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
But I think he'll do better. You know, he must just be tired or something.
Well, that was the thing in this is he plays every game. So in some sense, that sort of worked against him here probably.
On Baseball Reference, it says he's been worth a game and a half.
Okay.
What
has to come down to the defensive stat, I would say.
Yeah. Why did you have him on the team? What number did you base it? Just that he's bad defensively?
Well, the bad defensively, 741 OPS.
He's not brutal, but he's not good.
No, he's not brutal. And like I said, him playing every day sort of gives him the nod. I would say in the negative sense, it puts him over the top in terms of how much he's hurt his team.
Yeah, but I don't think it's fair to say he's hurt his team even at a 741 OPS and even at a little bit of a negative defensive stat. I guess it's like you said, it's doubly worse than any center fielder. But you really truly think that he's hurt his team more than helped?
Well, I'm just going by the parameters you told me in the exercise. Which
no,
is,
I'm asking
your
opinion.
I do. If
you
the defensive statistic is that bad, where he's twice as bad as anybody else defensively, then yeah, of course.
So you think the Orioles have been worse because, like, with him than better?
I mean, that all depends on who the replacement is. They have nobody, obviously, in their farm system, so he's probably better. But
he's been shitty, is the
point,
and he's
exactly.
overrated. Okay, good.
So moving on to right field, this is going to look like kind of a setup, but Jose Bautista.
Why is it setup?
Because I hate him.
Yeah, you hate him, but, dude, like I said, he's the worst base runner in all of baseball. I don't mean to steal your thunder.
Yeah,
go on.
So
he's bad at everything.
0.3 WAR, 749 OPS, 102 weighted runs created plus, which is a little bit above league average, but he's a player who's in there for his bat, who's not really providing any surplus value with his bat. Minus 5.7 BSR, the base running stat, minus 5.1 defensive stat. He and Mark Trumbo were a pretty close match to win this award, but we'll tip the cap to Bautista because he's such a jerk.
Yo, Baseball Reference has him worth negative 0.2 wins too. That's I mean, just another I went by Fangraphs also, but yeah, it's funny because another guy, he's at 750 OPS, but he's so bad. If you take away six runs, because the base running stat, unlike the defensive and offensive, is just directly runs. The others are not, right? That is not how many runs you're taking away or adding.
I don't think so.
But I know that the base running stat is meant to be how many runs you cost your team and the base pads. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Well, he's not going to get paid this offseason.
I know, man. Poor. He's on a one-year deal, right?
Ever since he got punched in the face, man, things have been looking down. Yeah, he's on a one-year deal.
Yo, Rougned cursed him and himself. Let me see his.
All right, so let's move on to
starting
pitchers.
Yeah, 1 year, $18.5 million, and a 2018 and 2019 mutual vesting option. No way the Royals want him. All right, so what were you about? What'd you say?
What are we talking about the Royals for?
I'm saying the Blue Jays, I meant to say. Okay. It's a vesting option, mutual, so both parties need him, but there's no way they're going to want him back.
All right, so moving on to starting pitchers. I took two of them.
Matt Harvey, fuck you.
Yeah, Matt Harvey. And
is he really on the team?
Seth Lugo, no. I'm the American League. So our ace is Masahiro Tanaka.
Oh, wow.
5.47 ERA, 5.03 FIP. His xFIP is actually better, 3.88, but he's giving up almost two home runs per nine innings. Huge disappointment.
Sucks, man. We loved him and defended him and called him the top of the second tier last year, and he was, man. He's so consistent.
He has been for years, yeah.
Yeah. It's like every other year is good. His first year was amazing, his second year was bad, and then last year was really good again.
Great last year. I mean, he's probably the
second
best
pitcher
in the American League.
I thought he was
year.
Awesome last year. I mean,
all right. So,
and then who's your second pitcher?
Number two, Jordan Zimmermann, 5.87 ERA.
Ew.
5.82 FIP.
Ew.
5.3 xFIP.
Ew.
And top that off, he has a nice 4 years, about $85 million left on that deal. That's unbelievable.
Poor Tigers, like, I know.
I mean, you would assume that going from the National League to the American League, his stats would take a hit a little bit. But, man, he's the second-worst pitcher in all the American League amongst qualified innings. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, man. No, it is crazy. How old is he? Let me see. Right here, 31. So maybe he can get better, but I don't like him.
Verlander was sort of in the mix there, too.
Yeah, he's been bad.
Very bad.
And this maybe even, you know, think about it. He almost won the Cy Young last year in a crazy rebound year.
Yep.
He definitely just bought 1 year supply of steroids is what happened, and now he's back off them.
Probably. So then,
do you think Verlander, would anybody trade for him ever at all? I think that's crazy. I don't see how people could talk about that. It's like Josh Hamilton, like when he's making $30 million, I would give up a single A prospect and pay $2 million of his salary. That's the most I would give, right?
I don't see any scenario where that deal happens because he's worth more to that team. Like the fans still he still resonates with the Detroit fans more than he would anywhere else because of his history.
Well, what would you want, though, if you're another team? I mean, what would you be willing to give up to get him if you're another team?
I mean, I would pay maybe half of his salary, but I definitely wouldn't give up any prospects.
Right. Well, what if they wanted a prospect? Would you pay $2 million or no prospects? You would not entertain giving up anything?
I mean, it all depends. If they ate his whole salary, maybe I'd give up a prospect.
Right. They'd have to eat, like, literally all but $3 million, salary, and yeah. I'd give them a baby prospect, not a big one,
right?
Just for like a playoff push.
But then the thing becomes, like, to Detroit, right, selling that move to their fan base, like, it just doesn't make sense because his value is still highest to Detroit.
I guess so, but I think that, though, they would be happy to dump any of the salary. I think the fans are smart enough to know they suck.
But when you get to the point where, like, Detroit would have to eat half the salary and then probably not get anybody back, it's a tough move to sell.
No, I understand what you're saying. It's even more diminishing returns or whatever, because I get
especially
you.
Especially, too, because, like, they're just in a terrible spot because they just paid these huge contracts. The clock just started with Justin Upton and Zimmerman. So, like, they were in a hole, and then they dug themselves into an even bigger hole.
And Miggy, they still got to pay, even though, I mean, you're right, Miggy and Verlander, they've been old for a while. Amazingly, they're so lucky they managed to. Imagine if they didn't pull that Prince Fielder, Ian Kinsler deal. They would have three of the worst contracts ever. Four maybe, like totally dead money. It sucks to be a fan at that time. This is where the Mets were. With Johan Santana after his no-hitter that sacrificed his career, and Jason Bay, who just blew cock from the day he got here. It was like, well, just once that money gets off the books, then we'll do stuff. But Jason the Tigers Bay. Aren't cheap. They're a cool franchise. All right, yo,
so,
who's your reliever?
I got
Sam
two,
Dyson.
I got two relievers.
K-Rod Dyson, and Dyson.
Dyson I didn't put on the team because now he's in the NL. But I got Tyler Clippard, who up until 3 weeks ago had a 1.7 ERA, like 1.2 maybe even. He was one of the best in the league, who now has a 5.24 ERA.
What, he's on the Yankees?
Tyler Clippard, yeah. Yeah, you didn't know he's on the Yankees?
I was 90% sure.
It's interesting, a 232 BABIP.
That's
which
crazy.
Which is unbelievable.
That's horrible.
He's a contact.
Was he giving up home runs or something?
Yeah, but he's a contact pitcher, too. A 232 BABIP and a 5.24 ERA. If that starts to normalize, you're looking at an 8 ERA.
Yeah, that's insane. I don't know what better BABIP. You can't hope for a better BABIP.
So then,
dude, that's like if you get 80% ground balls, you could get that BABIP. But the most a pitcher can possibly get is like 58%, you know? All right, who's your other reliever?
The closer of this team is Kelvin Herrera.
Oh, Kelvin.
Kelvin.
I love bashing the Royals, man. I'm really happy you have three Royals on this team.
4.50 ERA, almost two home runs per nine innings. I don't know what's going on here. I think that fastball is just going a little bit too straight. I don't know. I mean, the Royals they're in it, I guess, but they were talking about trying to sell this guy. I don't know what they're going to get back. There probably will be buyers, but
he's somebody I would buy. I mean, just because they're so fickle relievers, and he could throw 100 still, and even though it's flat, and that doesn't, you know, like you saying, it doesn't mean anything in and of itself,
right?
But it's a super good prerequisite, and he's been good. But
and then
it's amazing.
My DH, we got Albert Pujols with a 79 weighted runs created plus 675 OPS and about $160 million left.
Yo, people are bugging if they think that he's going to get to, what, 700 home runs or have a chance. Buster only said he thinks he has a chance at the record of home runs, maybe.
That's insane.
But, well, after last year, I could see that. But given this year, that's insane. I agree. Last year, he contributed. He was worth a win or two and, you know, hit 30 home runs and had a decent season, a little more than 30. But there's no way he's going to get that now. They're going to, like, do anything they can to get rid of the money, which they can't. They're stuck with it.
They're done, yeah. I mean,
poor Trout. Waste your career.
That's terrible.
You know what the Mets should do for Noah Syndergaard, you know, the Mike Trout of pitching? They should buy Justin Verlander just for $80 million a year just so they could be in the same rotation, just like Trout and Pujols. All right, so before we go, the Cubs traded for Jose Quintana today.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a shocker that the Cubs, because I think the teams that were being kind of thrown out there in the mix as the serious buyers were the Astros and the Yankees.
Also, I thought of the Cubs as going to stay pat. Like, they went for it as much as they could, and they won a World Series. I know they're a big market team, but they have enough tools. They don't need to go for it all at once this year, right? They are in a spot, and I thought they were going to act like this way, that their window is a little bit of a longer-term window. I don't know.
Well, the thing about Quintana is he still has 4 years of team control.
Yeah, I guess it's more like the Cole Hamels deal a couple years ago.
Right. So it's still a little bit shocking to me just because I don't know what Quintana – I mean, he adds another starter to a rotation that's been underperforming this year, especially with Arrieta and Hendricks, like, really regressing.
Yeah,
about
their whole
three steps.
Rotation sucks. That's what...
But I don't see Quintana as – like, when you get into a playoff series, you know, you have, let's say, three different starting pitchers. The look that you're going to get from Quintana, to me, is very similar to the look that you're going to get from John Lester. So I wouldn't feel comfortable pitching Quintana the day after Lester, because I think it provides an advantage to the other team's hitters.
Well, it wouldn't. It would be Lester, then Arrieta, then Quintana. And
I mean, do we know that?
No, I'm saying...
But it's still sort of... Even if there's that day in between, it's like they throw very similarly. They have a very like similar release point. Ideally, you know, you would want somebody else other than Quintana. There's no one available, but I just don't know.
I don't know, dude. I like him. I like it. I think that's crazy that just because they're similar. I understand what you're saying. Like, if they were, say they just extreming it out, say they were literally clones, then, yeah, I guess I get what you're saying, that over the course of a series, like we saw with Kluber in the World Series last year or whatever, they get to know the guy. But they are different people. But even still, like against the Dodgers or somebody like that, it's sweet to have a lefty. Obviously, it's much longer term than just who's good this year in the Dodgers. But, I mean, here are his career stats. He's in 1,055 innings. He's got 890 strikeouts and a 1.25 career whip, 3.5 ERA. He's 28. What does he throw? He throws, what, 92? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, he's not that exciting for me, but he's absolutely a rotation guy. Wow. His monkey stats are amazing. Listen to his ERA. He's going backwards. 3.2, 3.36, 3.3, 3.5, 3.7. Going backwards to his rookie year. I mean, at least in the monkey stats, and 200 innings a year. That's an awesome pitcher. That's a big piece.
Yeah, he's a
2013, 200 innings. 2014, 201 innings. 2015, 206. 2016, 208. Bam. So you don't like it, though? Because there's two lefties?
No, it's not necessarily just because of the two lefties. I just don't see this move as necessarily like the difference between the Cubs winning the World Series or not.
Well, like you said to me, it's not about this year, Bingy. It's a longer term deal for a young pitcher, controllable.
Now, I'll say this: if they had plans of like really paying Arrieta a lot after the season, and now this has something to do with it because it gives the front office a little bit more, you know, wiggle room. They don't have to go and sign Arrieta to a crazy contract because now they have a number two starter. Then, yeah, that helps as well. I was just a little bit shocked that he ended up with the Cubs. I really thought he was going to the Astros.
Well, what did they have to give up? What did they give up?
So they gave up Eloy Jimenez, who's he's moved his way up the charts very rapidly. He's a 20-year-old power-hitting outfielder, number five prospect in baseball by Baseball America. Dylan Cease, right-handed starting pitcher, also an A-ball, 20 years old, throws 100 miles an hour, top 50 Baseball America prospect.
Wow.
And then two throw-ins, but, you know, you're giving up two top 50 prospects.
Wait, the
that's
first
not
guy,
nothing.
Eloy, is a number five prospect right now?
Yep.
I guess that rotates often, and that's about what you would expect. Yeah, I don't know. I like it. I could see ownership also being like, look, Theo, we appreciate the World Series, but you're not going to pay Arrieta, bro, like you said. Like,
yeah.
Just give up what we have. We have a farm system we let you invest in. Use that to get a pitcher. Don't use our money.
Sure.
I like it.
I would have liked to see them get Archer instead. But, hey, I mean, like we said, Quintana, there are a lot. There's no better pitcher, I think, on the market right now.
You think Archer's on the table fully? Is he a free agent at the end of the year?
No. He's got like 4 more years of.
Oh yeah, they bought. They did a Trout deal with him. They bought out his free agent years.
Quintana deal with him as well, because Quintana is the same thing. He gave up his first 3 free agent years for $9 million a year.
What a slave contract. Like the
Let's
Salvador
continue
Perez.
To keep the man down.
Well, but then here's the bad side. We mostly know all the good ones. Rougned Odor might just suck from now on. He probably won't.
Colton Wong.
What's good with that fatty? Is he platooning? Is he even playing? Jed Jerko stole his spot.
Yeah, nobody even. I mean, Jerko's been outstanding. He's been playing third base, but Colton Wong is like.
And then how about
he got moved to the outfield, and now he's.
Wow.
He's washed up.
They activate him, so he was deactivated, I guess. I guess they sent him down, yeah. Stupid Colton Wong, and he was being a crybaby about platooning. All right, yo. So that'll do it. Whose team would lose? What do you think the odds would be in our team? Your team is better even. Well, the
I
names,
think my team would probably still win.
Yeah. So I did a better job then. No, I'm joking. So that's it. Yo, leave us a review or tweet at us. What's the Twitter? What's your Twitter?
Cap Figure.
And that's it.
Peace.
Go A-Rod.